I praise God for the promises that we find in His Word, that beyond that vast horizon there is a whole lot more. I'm glad that this ain't all that there is. If all that I was living for was what I could attain or accomplish down here, I'm not living for much, because one day all of that's going to be left behind. But you can lay up for yourself treasures in heaven that you may not see yet down here, but one day you'll find up there. And there'll be treasures that will last forever. And I thank God for the promise of His Word today. I pray that you've come here to worship today. We call this Sunday morning worship because it should be a time of worship. We're here to honor and to glorify our Savior today. And I know that we all live in the quote-unquote real world. I know we have our own issues and our own problems and the things that we face in life. But ain't it good that you can come to the house of God for an hour, hour and a half maybe, and you can leave all of those things outside the door for just a little while and just get along with God and God's people and realize what it is to understand that this is just a little foreshadowing of what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's a place of worship. And if you're not comfortable worshiping down here, you really are going to have a hard time getting used to heaven up there, because it's a place of worship. And when I read my scriptures, it's a place of a very loud worship as well. And I tell you what, I don't think there's going to be just a whole lot of sleeping going on in heaven, you know? I think people are going to be worshiping and praising God. And it's glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to see you with us today. I had a lot of folks in from college and things, and we're glad to have them with us today, and other folks we hadn't seen in a while that we're so glad to have you, and pray that God has blessed you greatly for being here today. Take your Bibles this morning, and let's go, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Last week we preached on one verse in verse 30, although we took time in the Old Testament. Today we're going to preach on verse 31 and take a little more time in the Old Testament as we go through this. But I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 31, and I pray that you'll allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to speak to your heart today. We'd ask you to stand today if you can, at the honor and the reading of God's Word. One verse, verse 31, the Bible, we're still in our series we've entitled The ABCs of Walking by Faith. Today we found a place in verse 31, and the Bible is still continuing the same theme, by faith. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Father, I love you and I thank you. God, I thank you for the time that we've had to worship, the time that we've lifted you up in songs of praise, and Lord, to look out and people, Father, not ashamed to worship today. And God, I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would give us the attention, God. Allow us to give you the attention, God, that you deserve. Father, let everyone be attentive to the preaching of the Word today. For Father, you tell us that you chose to save individuals, God, through the foolishness of preaching. And to the world, God, the Bible says that preaching is foolishness. But to us that are saved, the Bible says preaching is the power of God. Help us to understand now the importance of the preached Word. Open every heart today, God, that the preached Word might go in, Father, and find its resting place. And God, I pray for those that are here today that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that they'll see, God, how much you love them and how much you desire to spend all eternity with them. Draw them by the power of your Holy Spirit today, that before they leave here today, that God, that we know, that they'll know their sins are forgiven and their name is written in the book of life, and we'll give you the glory for it all in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I think when we understand this chapter, one thing that we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt is that faith honors God, and God honors faith. There's a story of the life of missionaries by the name of Robert and Mary Moffat, and it illustrates the truth of what I just said. For 10 years, this couple labored faithfully in Botswana without one ray of encouragement to brighten their way. They could not report in 10 years one single convert. Finally, the director of their mission board began to question the wisdom in to continue to sink in financial support for their work. And the thought of leaving their post, however, brought great grief to the devoted couple, for they felt sure that God was involved in their labors and that they would see people turn to Christ in due season. Well, they stayed, and for another year or two longer, darkness seemed to reign all around them. Then one day a friend in England sent word to the Moffats that he wanted to mail them a gift and asked them what they would like to have. Well, trusting that in time the Lord would bless their work, Sister Moffat replied, "Send us a communion set. I'm sure that it soon will be needed." And God honored that dear woman's faith because the Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of the villagers, and soon a little group of 6 converts was united to form the first Christian church in that land. The communion set from England was delayed in the mail, but on the very day before the commemoration of the Lord's Supper in Botswana, the little communion set arrived. See, folks, for centuries the children of Israel had been a nation of slaves in Egypt. And then after they got out of slavery, they spent 40 years as nomads wandering around the deserts of Egypt. Their great leader Moses was dead, and at that time they were without any military experience. They were without an army. They were devoid of any artillery or weapons, and they had nothing to help them along the way. But they knew that the living God was for them. And they had come to believe in Him, and it was their faith that had gained the victory. Because you see, church, faith and obedience are inseparable. When it says to come to Christ and put faith in Him, that's not a suggestion, that's a command. If you do it, it's an act of obedience. The proclamation of the gospel in itself is a command to repent and believe. And any person who embraces Christ in an act of repentance and faith is obeying the gospel. The gospel itself is a command. It's a command to repent and to believe. And salvation comes to those who obey. And everything after that in the life of faith is obeying what God has commanded. So true faith is always demonstrated in obedience. Now this kind of obedience also has courage. The kind of obedience that will occur no matter what the price, no matter what the cost. And what we're going to see today is that happened in the life of what the Bible says is a woman who's a harlot. Now we've already seen it in this chapter in the early heroes of the faith. But here in particular, it's about the courage of faith. It's about a faith that cannot be broken no matter how dire the circumstances are. It endures, it expects triumph, and it expects victory. It was the great reformer Martin Luther who said, "God our Father has made all things depend upon faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whosoever does not have faith will have nothing." Now, although the Bible teaches us that each person is endowed by God to possess a certain measure of faith, it was the Apostle Peter who told us to add to our faith. And in our text this morning, in this one verse, and as we look back a little bit into the Old Testament, we are going to see that the Bible defines 4 separate degrees of faith and faithful living. And in each of these degrees, you'll see the power of a growing and strengthening faith. So this morning, as we look at the life of Rahab for just a moment, I simply want to preach a little message on the 4 degrees of faith. Now, let's look at the 4 degrees. The first degree that we find is there is a faith that receives. There is a faith that receives. The Bible says in verse number 31, "By faith
the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had done what? She received the spies with peace. Folks, there is a faith that receives. That is the earliest measure, the earliest act of faith is a faith that simply receives. I want you to go back with me right now and hold your finger there in Hebrews, because we're going to go back to it. But go back to Joshua if you would, all right? You'll find Joshua is the sixth book of your Bible, right past Deuteronomy. And you'll find that this story of Rahab is written, the beginning of it is in Joshua chapter 2. So I want you to look in Joshua chapter 2 for just a second, and let's read a couple of verses right here. Verses maybe 1 and 2 as we get started. And we'll try to go through some of this chapter, and we'll lay us a good foundation right here. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, say, go and view the land, even unto Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." At this point in time, Rahab had not hid the spies. At this point in time, Rahab had not even talked to the spies. At this point in time, Rahab had not even had any dealings with the spies. But there's one thing we can see about Rahab, is Rahab had a measure of faith within her that caused her to be moved by God to open up her doors and receive the spies into her house. Do you realize that in order for you to be saved, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." Do you realize the first measure of faith, the first degree of faith that we have is a faith that receives. Think about Rahab. Did she deserve the spies to come and warn her? Did she deserve somebody to come in and give her notice of what was going to happen? Did she earn that in any way, shape, or form? Rahab was a Canaanite. Rahab was not a Jew. Rahab was a Gentile. Specifically, she was an Amorite. And when you read in the Word of God, the entire seed of the Amorites was cursed by God and set aside by God for destruction. And on top of all of that, she worked as the local prostitute. Folks, if there was anybody that didn't deserve grace, it was Rahab. But I want you to know something. When the spies came by and knocked on old Rahab's door, she didn't deserve them coming by. But yet she opened the door and there was a spy. And she said, "I will allow you to come on into my house." I want you to know something today. There's not a one of you today, no matter how good you dress, that was worthy that one day when Jesus came by and knocked on the door of your heart, they were not worthy enough, no matter how good and moral you might be. You were not worthy enough, no matter how much you've done for charity. You were not worthy enough, no matter what happens in your life. But yet one day Jesus come by, and He saw the condition that you were in, and He knew judgment was headed your way. And God of heaven of glory sent His begotten Son so He could come by your house one day, and He could knock on the door and give you the chance to open up the door and receive Him into your life. Glory to God. Aren't you glad He stopped by one day? Yeah. Not a one of us was worthy of that. And that's the first degree of faith, is a faith that receives. But you know what? We understand about this faith that receives. This faith knows something. It knows that grace cannot be earned. We said that already. Rahab was a harlot. Rahab was a Canaanite. Rahab was an Amorite. Rahab was not a Jew. She had no ownership of the promises of God. She had none of that. And you know what we realize by looking at Rahab is grace cannot be earned. We also understand that we must receive Jesus Christ, because judgment cannot be escaped. not only can grace not be earned, but judgment cannot be escaped. And those of you, they that are still lost in your sins, look up here at me right here. I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day when you will stand before a holy God. And there is coming a day when you will stand before that God of righteousness. And there His Holy Son will be standing at the right hand of His Father in power and authority. And there you will see the marks on His hands. And there you may see the marks on His feet. And there you'll see that holy God who stood and took your place on the cross, who stood and died in your place, who didn't deserve it but done it anyway because He loved you. And day after day you reject that Son. I want you to know something today. There's a day of judgment coming for you. It behooves us to tell you this morning. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's a judgment day coming, sinner. There's a judgment day coming for you. And the Bible said is appointed once unto all men to die. And after this, the judgment. You will not escape judgment. No matter if you listen to this preacher or not today, you will not escape the judgment of God. And we also realize this faith understands. Not only can grace not be earned and judgment cannot be escaped, but death cannot be eluded. Death cannot be eluded. You know what? These spies were going to tell her. These spies were coming. And the word was that God gave them was go in and wipe everything out. He said, I want you to kill every man that's in there. I want you to kill every woman that's in there. I want you to kill every child that's in there. I want you to kill all the animals that are in there. I want you to destroy everything about this place. And you know what? Rahab knew judgment was coming. And she knew that death was certain because of it. Can I tell you something today? It was in 2 Samuel, the Bible says, for we must needs die, and as our water spilled on the ground. Job said, seeing that his days are determined, the number of his months which are with thee, he said, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Do you know even Solomon says this right here in Ecclesiastes 9 and 5. He said, for the living know they shall die. You know what, there's probably not a one of us in here today, unless we're just really out there somewhere. There's not a one of us here today that doesn't know that we're going to die one day. All of us are going to die one day. But you know the thing about it is, we don't think it's going to be today. We don't think it's going to be right now. We don't think it could happen when we leave this place today. We don't think that we would have an accident in the car. We don't think that somewhere along the way we might have a heart attack or a stroke. We don't think that something might happen along the way. We know we're going to die, but we don't think it's going to be today. You know what? Rahab knew when those guys knocked on her door, death was imminent. Death was imminent. And can I tell you today, church, and I hope every last one of you live to be 125 year old, but I'm going to tell you right now, death is imminent, church. The Bible says there is but a step between us and death. Death is imminent. Folks, you will not be able to elude death. You will not be able to escape judgment. And grace cannot be earned. That's why faith says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Folks, there's a faith that receives. Now, the second degree of faith is this. A lot of people get in on that first part, and then that's where they stay. But there's a second degree of faith that we find here in Hebrews 11 and 31. And keep your finger in Joshua 2 because we're going to go back and forth. But we also find there is a faith that reckons. There's a faith that reckons. Now, in Hebrews 11, verse 31, the Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. See, it's the next level of faith to reckon that God has made promises and we can count on God to fulfill His promises. Because see, at the point of salvation, you've got a beggar faith, kind of, so to speak, which brings you to a place where you receive the gift. But the next level of faith begins to understand that with this gift are massive promises of God. They're full of promise, and that God is going to fulfill every one of them. You know what Rahab understood? Now I want you to go back to Joshua there. Just keep holding your finger in both spots and look in Joshua 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says here Rahab now has the spies on the inside of her house. And she says unto the men, she's reckoning now, right? She's reckoning, and she says, because you're here, I know something. All glory to God, every saved person in heaven that lives on this earth ought to say, because you're here, I know something. I know something. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord hath dried up the water of the Red Sea. That happened 40 years earlier. She said, I've heard of what God did through you guys 40 years ago. And for 40 years, look in verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, not just her, but all the people living on the inside of Jericho, as soon as we had heard, some point in time after they crossed the Red Sea, news got to them. Don't know how fast, but it probably didn't take terribly long, and they've been terrified for 40 years. These guys are going to come. These guys are going to come. They're going to destroy us. They're going to kill us. They're going to take it all over. All these things. And you know what the Bible said? Our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now look what she says though. She says, all right, I got to reckon something here now. Because I have come to a knowledge. Because I have come to a knowledge of who you serve. And I now have Him living on in. I have received that knowledge. And by acting upon that knowledge, I have now received Him unto myself. I realize something. I realize death is still on its way. I realize judgment is still coming. And I realized I couldn't earn this grace that I've got. But she said, I want you to swear something unto me. Because I've showed you kindness, I want you also to show me and my father's house kindness. And that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. I don't know about you today, but I'll tell you what, when a person gets saved, I believe the very next degree of faith is they stop living in fear. Oh, I like that. She said, you know what, I've came to the place where I received. I've got a faith that receives. But I realize because I've got a faith that receives, I realize though everybody around me seems like they're stricken with cancer. Everybody around me seems like they're having heart attacks. Everybody around me seems like they're losing everything. Everybody around me seems like all these things are falling apart. Nations are rising against nations. Nuclear programs are rising up. Chaos all on the foreign scene. Economy is shot. Everything going downhill. But I want you to know something. Because Richard, he lives within me, buddy. I've been able to reckon something. It may kill everybody else, but glory to God, it ain't going to get me. Because I've got somebody living on the inside of me that said that he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But preacher, I'm scared to die. Why? You ain't never going to die. Why should you be scared of something that ain't never going to happen to you? Well, preacher, I don't know what it's going to be like. I just believe it's going to be glory. Because I'm going to leave this body and immediately be in the presence of my King. Hallelujah. I realize something. Because He came on the inside of me, I realize even if the world goes to hell in a handbasket, I ain't going with it. Glory to God. That's the second degree of faith. And then we find the third degree of faith. We find there's not just a faith that receives. How many of you are still stuck on that one right there? Because see, after you've been saved, you're still living in all kinds of fear. You're still sitting at the first degree of faith. See, there's a faith that reckons. Because I know Him now, Richard. Because He lives, I don't have to be afraid. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh I know. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know today? And then we got a faith that reckons. And then the third things we find here is the third degree of faith is there's a faith that risks. There's a faith that risks. She said, I know something, guys. Let's just look back in Hebrews. Hold your finger right there in Joshua 2. Just do this right here. Do this right here. In Hebrews 11:31. See, she didn't perish with those that didn't believe not. And because she was able to reckon, she had received the spies. Do you believe that receiving those spies into her house and hiding them the way that she did was a risky endeavor? You better believe it was. But folks, there's a faith. When you reach the place of having a faith that receives, and then you go to the place where you can begin to have a faith that reckons, you'll then rise up to a faith that's able to risk. Oh, now listen to me. You say, preacher, I don't know. Hang on there. Hang on there. You remember, here these old boys were in the boat, these disciples, and they were crossing over that lake of Gennesaret. It's called the Sea of Galilee and other places. And a storm came along, and that boat they thought was going down. And all of a sudden they look over and here comes somebody walking on the water. And they begin to cry out, oh, it's a spirit! But old Peter, he'd got to the place he had a faith that received. And then he got to the place of a faith that reckoned. And he said, you know what? If he can do it, and I realize who my God is, if he can do it, and I've got this king with me, Lord, if it be you, bid me to step out of this boat. Jesus said, come on, son, risk it. Glory to God. And he got out. You say, but he sank. Hallelujah. But he risked it though, didn't he? And you know what? Because he, you say, preacher, if I do it, it's liable to fail. It may fail. But you're going to find out in the midst of your failure, there's a hand that will reach down. Hallelujah. Ah, glory. There's a hand that will reach down and grab you in the midst of your failure and lift you up again. Glory to God. And even if, what did he set him back down on? Did you ever think about that? He sank in the water, didn't he? Jesus lifted him up. What did he set him back down on? He had a faith that risked. Oh, but I can't do it. Yes, you can. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. I don't think I can step out on faith. Yes, you can. If you'll let your faith. Preacher, I don't think I can go another step. Hey, just listen to the words of Jesus. He said, come on out. Oh, let me tell you something. Do you remember? There was an old prophet by the name of Elijah. Came by a widow's house. She is making up her last little bit of meal. Put together this little cake. He said, what are you doing? She said, I'm making my last meal for me and my boy. This is all I got. Is this last little bit of meal. She said, I'm going to make a cake. We're going to eat it. And then we're going to die. She didn't have much faith, did she? He said, hey, you know what? I'm kind of hungry. How about just making me a cake first? Now the gall of this guy. Last little bit they had. And going to take the last little cake of corn from her and her boy. He said, do it. Do it. And he said, if you do it, he said, the cruise of oil will never fail. Now she had a choice. she could go ahead and eat that cake and be sustained for just a little while, but she would die. Or she could risk it using the last little bit she had. And you know what she did? You know the story. She risked it, didn't she? She risked it, and because she was able to risk it, she never lacked again. Church, we need to be about our Father's business. And especially if we've been saved and the Spirit of God lives within us, we need to be walking by faith and reckoning by faith and even to the point of risking by faith. All through the Bible, you'll find story after story of men and women of God who risked because of faith. And then this last thing I want to give you, and I'm done. Last week, remember what we preached on? We preached on the pinnacle of faith. Here's the pinnacle right here. Once you get a faith that receives, that's what happens when a person is saved. Then their faith takes to the next level, and it's a faith that can begin to reckon in the promises of God. And then once you realize God's promises hold true every time, every time, every time, you then can begin to take risks based on your faith, which is what Rahab did when she took the spies in and hid them. She was able to risk it. And then the Bible says this. Now take your Bibles again. Let's do this right here one more time, all right? Back over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. When she received the spies, she did it how? With peace. You think she was saying, "Oh guys, I don't know about this. I might get caught. Oh guys, I don't know. Somebody might find out you're in here." She said, "I know your God is the true and living God. And I know I didn't even deserve y'all to even come by and tell me what was going to happen. But I knew it was coming. 40 years ago, we heard what God had been doing through you. We knew it was coming." And you know what? I believe I can just trust your God. And she received Him with peace. The pinnacle of faith is when you get to a faith that goes beyond just receiving, reckoning, and even risking, and you get to a place where your faith rests. Your faith rests. Now I want you to look in Joshua 2, and this is we won't go back to Hebrews again. But I want to show you why she was able to rest, all right? Will you stick with me another 5 minutes, all right? This is I was on the shouting ground Friday night. I did this sermon on Friday night. And I was on shouting ground in this last part, all right? I like this. The reason her faith was able to rest, the reason she was able to take them in peace, was because her faith was resting in the work of another. Her faith was resting in the work of another. Now I want to show you what I mean by that, okay? Now look in chapter 2 and verse 16, okay? Now, remember she led them down the wall. Verse 15 says that she led them down by a cord through the window. Her house was on top of the town wall. Here she's got this cord going down. They're scaling the wall. Now maybe they're down at the bottom of the wall and she's looking out and she said, "Okay, let me tell you where to go." Verse 16, she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." I get too excited on this point. No matter what they would have promised her. Remember what they said? They said, "Yep." She said, "Save my house, save my father, my mother, save everybody." You know, she was saying, "Save all of us." And they said, "Hey, our life for yours. We'll make sure to trust us." If they had not escaped the pursuers, the promise would have been in vain. The pursuers would have caught them. And two things would have happened. The two spies would have been killed. Joshua would have never known the deal that was made with Rahab. And the army still would have come in and wiped out Jericho. But Rahab and the family would have died too. But because the one who made the promise was able to defeat death, she could rest in the promise that when the children of God was coming in, she wouldn't die either. Because we have a Savior that has cheated death. Ah, you still ain't with me. Because we have a Savior who has cheated death, we can rest. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to die in fear anymore. We've got a Savior. He has defeated it all. Our faith should rest in the work of another. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Richard, it's a faith that rests, brother. It's a faith that rests. That's the pinnacle of faith. It's a faith that rests in the work and the word. Oh, hallelujah of another. I'm going to skip this. Y'all done about preach me to death. Glory. I'm too fat to be preaching like this. Hey. Yeah. I was going to give you this one too, but I've already went by this one. It rests in the word of another. I don't have to spend no time on that, do I? But it rests in the watch of another. I wonder how the rest of that army was going to know which house to save. You ever think about that? Wonder what was the giveaway? He said, guys, can't you see them two spies going back and telling Joshua, Joshua, it's ready, buddy. Go in there, we'll take them. Oh, by the way, Joshua, there's one house in there. We made a deal with this little gal and her family that we're going to take them with us alive. They were good to us, Joshua. Well, where do they live at? Well, Joshua, I really can't explain it to you, but I tell you what to look for, Joshua. Look for that house that's got that scarlet cord hanging out the window. Go on, Brother Tom. Look for that house, brother. Got that scarlet cord hanging out the window. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? We can rest because the Bible said God knows them that are His. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you know when the old death angel passed by the Hebrews there in Exodus chapter 12, 13, 14, go through and read the Passover. You'll find there was a reason why he was able to pass over the house and the Hebrews would be stayed alive. It's because they had the mark of the blood on the doorposts of the house. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, church, you can rest, hallelujah, because God's watching and He sees the mark of the blood. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? The blood is still there. Glory to God. Hey, let me ask you something today. I got to quit. I just can't do it anymore. You know what? Are you able to rest right now? Are you able to rest right now? Can you rest knowing that you received Jesus Christ? And even though you're a sinner, you can rest on His grace today. If you can't rest today, I encourage you today to know that Jesus loves you. And Jesus came to die for you. And you don't have to leave here today wondering and worrying. If I don't make it today, then where am I going to go? What's going to happen to me? You don't have to worry about that. You can rest knowing your sins are in the blood. But hey, those of us that are saved already, are you able to rest? You know God wants you to rest. God says He will give His beloved sleep. Oh, He wants you to be able to rest today. I want you to know something. He's done all the works that needed to be done, church. And His word is always held. And He's got His eye watching you. He sees the scarlet thread of your life. He sees the blood of Jesus is marked on your heart. He sees you. And He wants you to rest in that today. And I want to encourage you today, church. Wherever you're at right now in your faith, I want you to know, if you're here today, and you don't have to tell me out loud, you don't even have to testify to anybody. If you want to, that's between you and God. But if you would look at me today, just spiritually speaking, and say, Pastor, I can't rest. I don't have that rest in my soul. I want you to know, when we sing this invitation song today, why don't you just come to Jesus? Just come, just kneel down at an old-fashioned altar today. I bet you'll find a few saints of God to come up and help you too. I bet you'll find some folks that love you, put their arm around you, and say, hey, you know what? You're not in this thing alone. There's a God in heaven that's watching over you. And you know what? We're here for you. And if you're here today and you can't rest in the grace that has forgiven you of sins, God wants to save you today. More important than whether He wants to feed you today physically, He wants to save your soul. Won't you know something, sinner? God loves you today. And I love you. And this church loves you. And we want more than anything for you to be saved. But I want you to know something. Paul said this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's a death day coming, sinner, and there's a judgment day coming, sinner. You need to understand that. And you need to get it right with God now, because you don't know if you'll make it past this day or not. Would you?